can quote King James until you bleed. I just sound like other languages to me.
You can talk this language. This is Pastor Brad Bristow welcoming you to the Cornerstone Church Airdrie Audio Podcast. Thank you so much for joining with us today. Each week, we aim to have the recorded audio from our sermons uploaded to our podcast. Along with these sermons, we'll also from time to time have other audio content, things like a prophetic word from a service, a midweek teaching, or something else like an interview or some other content. If you're new to Cornerstone Church, you can connect with us on social media. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/cornerstoneairdrie. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram, at CS Airdrie on Twitter and at Cornerstone Airdrie on Instagram. Also, make sure to subscribe to the podcast through iTunes. Just hit the subscribe button on iTunes or follow the prompts on our website. And you can visit us on our website to find out more about who we are and about all of the things that are happening at Cornerstone Airdrie by going to www.cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com. We believe that the God who spoke so clearly in the pages of Scripture continues to speak to His kids today. So as you listen, I pray that the Holy Spirit would be speaking to you. God bless you as you listen. In John chapter 14, Jesus, in John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, are essentially Jesus talking to His disciples in the upper room, right before, it is that upper room, when they share the Lord's Supper, and then they go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and all of those things take place. But in these chapters in John, we sort of have Jesus giving His, as Shannon sort of said, the State of the Union, or State of Missions address. This is kind of Jesus's final address to his followers, and sort of His chance to sort of, here's everything you need to know. And so we just see Jesus talk for all of these chapters about all kinds of different things. But fundamentally, the theme that runs through all of it is what life is going to look like when He's gone. When Jesus has left, here's all of the things you're going to need to know. Jesus tells them that He's going away, that He's going away to the Father who sent Him, and He's going to prepare a place for them, and they can't come there. But yet this will be a good thing, and He unpacks sort of all of this stuff that the disciples need to know. And Jesus will say this about the Holy Spirit in the middle of this discussion on all the different topics. Here's what He will say in John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, you know Him, for He dwells within you and will be in you. This week, what I'd like for us to do is focus on the word that Jesus uses to describe the Holy Spirit. Jesus will say that He is going to ask the Father, and He will give you another helper. And so this morning, we're going to focus on that word helper and dive into exactly what Jesus was talking about when He used that word. Some translations that you have, is if you're following along, you may see the word helper. Others might say counselor, maybe others comforter, others maybe advocate, depending on the translation you have. But if we take a look at this word, the Greek word that we translate helper or comforter or whatever is the word parakletos. And when I was doing research into this, one of the things that I thought was rather humorous is people would say, well, this is where we get the English word paraclete from. And I thought, anybody here ever used the English word paraclete? Other than perhaps talking about the Holy Spirit? Does it come up in everyday conversation? Oh, well, yeah, the paraclete, you know. I thought, that's not a word we need to... It's where we get the English word that no one uses. But this word is broken up into two parts. The prefix para, and that means alongside. And the root of the word is a form of the verb kletos, which means to call. So Jesus said His Father was going to send the parakletos to be with us forever. And parakletos is really translated as someone who's called to go alongside. that I'm going to send you this person who is called to go alongside you. That's their call. That's their mission, is to go alongside of you. That is the definition of what they are, is someone who's called to go alongside. In the Greek, this word is typically applied to an attorney, to a lawyer. But the context is not really like just any regular old lawyer that you would just look up in the yellow pages and, oh, there's a million and one lawyers there. A parakletos, the understanding, would have been more like a family attorney or like an attorney that someone would have on like a permanent retainer. Now, I know for most of us, this is just a day-to-day part of life. I'm sure we all have our own family retainer, our own lawyers on retainer. That's just a day-to-day normal part of life. Or maybe it's something we're a little more familiar with on TV. That we all don't have our own personal family lawyer. But the idea of the Holy Spirit being our advocate, being our parakletos, is this idea of it's like our family lawyer, that he's always there for us when you need them. That on TV, when the rich people have their family lawyer, whatever happens in the middle of the night, they just call them up and say, something's happened and we need you. That's the idea of what it means for us to have the Holy Spirit. As part of the family of God, the family's attorney on retainer is the Holy Spirit. He's always present to come alongside and help us in times of trouble. But the analogy of an attorney or a lawyer is something that we can kind of get bogged down in trying to understand all of the ins and outs of, well, what did, if the Holy Spirit is our lawyer, then who's the judge and who's the jury and who's the prosecuting attorney? That we can get kind of get stuck sort of in the mud with some of these things. But if we unpack the idea of the Holy Spirit being our advocate, our counselor, our family attorney, and we take it and we think about it for a moment, what do we get a lawyer for? For court, right? That's what you need a lawyer for. To put it basically, we hire them to represent us. But we hire them to represent us in a very specific arena. We don't hire a lawyer and then send them on a job interview. We don't hire a lawyer and then send them to go grocery shopping for us. We hire a lawyer, if we need a lawyer, for a very specific circumstance, for a very specific arena. And the reason for that is that the vast majority of people would usually be very unfamiliar with this arena. We know that to be a lawyer means you have to yell objection. We know that being a lawyer means we need to ask the judge for a sidebar. We know what we've learned from TV, but the reality is most of us have no idea how a courtroom works, how all of this system that is so important to us would function, but we don't know. And so we need to hire a lawyer to represent us so that we have someone who knows what they're doing. Someone with some kind of understanding of what we need in this circumstances. There are rules and regulations and procedures that we know nothing about. And so if we need to be in that environment, we need to have someone come alongside us to help us navigate that journey, or we'll be lost. And when we think about the Holy Spirit in this kind of context, as our advocate, as this expert in arenas that we know nothing about, this understanding perhaps helps us with getting a better picture of when we look at Jesus and his interaction with his disciples in this circumstance, in this place, on this night. Jesus was telling the disciples, guys, my time is coming to an end here. I'm almost done. But we are not going to be together for very much longer. And you're going to be going from this place into all of the world to change the world. But they were going to have to go into all of the world without the guy who changed their world, without their friend, their mentor, their teacher, their rabbi, their the person who they follow. They're going to need to go on without Jesus. And Jesus will tell them that they're about to head into a very hostile world, a world that's very hostile to them, and especially to the message they were going to bring. Jesus would say to them as they sat around this table that the world is going to hate you the same way that it hates me. And Jesus knew in telling them that, that they were about to witness Jesus being crucified. That when he would say, the world hates you the way that it hates me, you're going to experience the things that I'm going to experience. Jesus knew, and they're going to watch me get crucified in a week. That there was an awareness of what was going on. And we see Jesus calling his disciples to be courageous in the face of this difficulty, adversity, and hostility. But he doesn't call them to be courageous in and of themselves, to find that courage that's hidden deep down inside each one of them, like you would in a Disney movie or something, that when you need to be brave, you just summon up the courage. Jesus will tell his disciples to take heart. But not just to take heart, not just to be courageous because, well, you're going to need to be, so you better figure it out. Jesus tells them a reason why they should have a sense of confidence and assurance in the face of what is to come. He will tell them, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. Jesus was letting them know that even though the hallmark of their life to come was that it was going to be filled with pressure and hostility and persecution from the world, no one would want to go there and do that. But Jesus promises to his disciples that after I'm gone, your Father is going to send another helper to you just like me. And you can take heart because you know that I've overcome the world, and my Father is going to send you another helper just like me. After Jesus was gone, his disciples wouldn't be alone. God would send them this advocate, a helper, a paracletos to come alongside of the disciples. And no matter where they go, no matter what they faced, they wouldn't be walking into this alone. That they would always have the Holy Spirit with them, fighting for them, helping them, watching over them, empowering them. So Jesus promises to us this helper and this advocate to come alongside and comfort us and encourage us and to advocate for us, to give us the expertise and experience that we need when perhaps we're not really sure what it is that we're facing or what it is that we're doing. But we have this Holy Spirit that will come alongside us, and whatever we face, whatever situation we find ourselves in, we have this expert that's with us, this expert in whatever arena it is that's there with us, standing beside us. We have the Holy Spirit to come alongside us and give us the ability to do what we don't have the ability to do. A picture of this can be found in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, when Paul will write this. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For if we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches his heart knows what is of the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This passage begins with a key phrase in understanding the advocate concept. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. Where we lack, the Spirit overlaps. Where we don't have enough, the Spirit has more than enough. Where we don't have an idea, the Spirit has all of the ideas. When we don't have the knowledge, the expertise, the experience, the power, when we don't have an idea, when we're in a place when we don't know what to do or how to do it, the Holy Spirit is always there to help us. And in this passage, Paul talks about when you've come to a place where you don't even know what to pray. And I'm sure that many of us have come to that place, can identify with that. When we find ourselves facing something, when we find ourselves in the middle of something, and all we can do is, God? Something? God? Do something? Paul says, if we don't even know what to pray, when we come to that place where we know we need God, but we don't even know what to say, we can have the Holy Spirit will come and intercede and pray on our behalf. And it says that he understands the perfect will of God. And so we have this voice, this spirit, this advocate that's with us, and he not only knows what to pray, but he knows exactly what it is that we should be praying for. And this is what we have in the Holy Spirit. We have this person who sits right beside us and knows what to do all the time. He knows what the will of God is all the time. And he knows what we should do and where we should go, and he knows all the time. Whatever we face, whatever we're looking at, the Holy Spirit knows what the will of God is for this, and the Holy Spirit empowers us to do it. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John are arrested for preaching, for teaching, and for healing, and they're hauled before the Sanhedrin in a sort of trial. Where it's sort of like a trial, but it's kind of one where you're presumed guilty until innocent. And they address this group of powerful people, and Peter gives a sermon, and they're questioned, and all of these things. But we see in verse 13 a couple of things about what it means that the Holy Spirit was advocating with Peter and John, what it means for the Holy Spirit to have been with them. Acts chapter 4, verse 13 says this. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. A few things to draw out of this passage. Peter and John had addressed the Sanhedrin in a way that left the Sanhedrin astonished. That when they were finished, they weren't just like, oh, well, that was something. They were left thinking, that was amazing. That was incredible. That was an incredible defense. That was an incredible talk. That was an amazing experience watching these men do this. They had done such an impressive job of speaking and sharing with these law experts that the experts were left in awe of what they said. And this is the assurance that we have in what the Holy Spirit brings us. Working through us, the Holy Spirit, when he works on our behalf for God, he allows us to excel in what God has for us. Peter and John were not merely passable, adequate. They didn't just squeak by. They were amazing. They left these experts who do this for a living in awe of what had just taken place. And that's what God has for you, and that's what God has for us. God hasn't called us to just merely be adequate. God doesn't promise that if you put your hope and your trust in me, you'll just barely get by. But God says that when we rely on him and we put our trust in him and we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us, that will leave people astonished. Now, the next thing is Peter and John didn't get up and speak in front of this Sanhedrin in this incredible manner because he was just amazing at this. It wasn't that Peter got up to speak and they were all amazed because, well, we just know from Scripture Peter's an incredible speaker. It wasn't his own strength and it wasn't because he was just awesome. It was because of the Holy Spirit that lived inside of him, that knew what to do and how to do it, even in spite of Peter's seeming inabilities and failures. And we know that it wasn't just that Peter was amazing, because what's interesting is that the Sanhedrin were able to see that Peter and John were not incredible, talented people. They were able to look at Peter and John and know that there was nothing special about them that should make what they were to say astonishing. Let's look back at that verse. In that verse in Acts, it notes this. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, when Peter spoke, it wasn't that he had this incredible out-of-body experience where suddenly he became eloquent and he began to speak in a way that wasn't Peter. It wasn't that when the Sanhedrin looked at Peter and John, they saw scholars and they saw experts and they saw these incredible, educated, impressive people. The Holy Spirit didn't remove Peter from the equation. The Holy Spirit didn't work in spite of Peter. Didn't work in spite of Peter. He worked through Peter. He didn't work in spite of who Peter was and take away who Peter was and say, Peter, get out of the way. I got this. I'll do this for you. He worked through Peter. He worked through this uneducated common man. Peter was still Peter, but there was something different about Peter. And this is what it looks like when we allow the Holy Spirit to advocate, to help us. He doesn't take over. He doesn't remove us from the equation. He doesn't kick us out of the driver's seat and move us to the passenger seat and say, get out of the way, stop it, I will take over from here. You have nothing to do with this. He works through us. He works in the midst of our flaws, in our incompleteness, our brokenness, our lack of education, our nervousness, whatever it is that we look at our lives and perceive and see as a weakness. The Holy Spirit doesn't just kick all that stuff out of the way and say, I don't need you. The Holy Spirit says, we can still work through you. We can still do this. We can together, we can do this. The Holy Spirit knows just what to say, knows just what to do. And in the face of all that should hold us back, we're able to stand before those looking to judge us and leave them astonished because there's something different. And that's what the Sanhedrin see in Peter and John. When the Sanhedrin looked at Peter and John, they saw uneducated, common men. They saw nothing particularly special. They saw nothing particularly impressive. They saw nothing that would particularly cause you to say, well, look at these. Like, this is going to be an interesting day in court. These guys are going to have something to say. This will take 10 minutes. They're fishermen. There's nothing special about it. They're going to come in, they'll say something stupid, and we can kill them. It'll be short. This isn't going to be difficult. But although they were uneducated, common men, after they had seen Peter and John, they knew there's something else going on here. They could sense that something was happening here. And we see that in the closing of this verse, that after it says that they perceived they were uneducated common men, it will say they were astonished and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. The fingerprints of God were all over what was taking place here. The Sanhedrin were not fans of Jesus, like at all. That's why Peter and John were hauled before them, is because as they were teaching and preaching and healing, they were doing it in the name of Jesus. And they were wanting them to stop doing these things in the name of Jesus. So they weren't looking to give Jesus credit. They weren't looking to say, well, maybe it's because of Jesus. This was not the outcome that they were hoping for. But even these haters, this opposition, when faced with the work of the Holy Spirit, working through these uneducated common men, they were left with no other conclusion than to give credit to God. Than to look at this and say, there's something else happening here. This has to be God. Because there's no other explanation as to how these uneducated common men can leave us astonished like this. Peter and John didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know what to say. They had no wisdom or knowledge to guide them through this. They should have been off to jail, at least. That should have been the end result of this matter. But the Holy Spirit knew. The Holy Spirit knew what they should say. The Holy Spirit knew what they should do. And when the Holy Spirit served as the advocate for Peter and John, in spite of their shortcomings, they left everyone astonished. They left everyone looking and going, wow, there's something going on here. And this isn't just for the disciples, but this is, of course, a promise for you and I. In Romans 8, Paul will write this, and this is what I want to close with today. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Now listen to what Paul will say about this in verse 37. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors. Whatever we come up against, we don't have to be afraid. It doesn't matter if it's persecution, if it's famine, if it's whatever would come up and stand against us, we don't have to be afraid because we are more than conquerors. We will defeat whatever comes up against us through Christ because he will walk through it with us. Wherever we go and whatever we face, the Holy Spirit is right there beside us saying, if you want to get through this, this is what you need to do. We don't face anything that we look to the Holy Spirit and he goes, I don't know, man. Good luck. When we turn to the Holy Spirit, he is always there saying, you should say this. You should do this. Go this way. Walk this way. This is the way. Walk ye in it. When we stand in life's journey, we have someone with us with the expertise to take us wherever it is that we need to go. We will overcome it and we will conquer it. Friends, having the Holy Spirit advocate for you means that he has been sent to your side. That's what that word means, that he has been called alongside of you. He pleads your case before whomever he needs to plead your case. He's your intercessor. He is your helper. And everywhere you find yourself, the Holy Spirit knows. He knows where you should go. He knows what you should do. He knows what you should say. When the disciples were having trouble casting out a demon, they came to Jesus for advice. They came to Jesus and said, we don't know what to do. We've done everything we can. And we're not seeing the results. And Jesus says to them, this type only comes out with prayer and fasting. That poignant, practical, heavenly knowledge that Jesus has exists inside each one of us. When we read what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, he didn't say that my Father in heaven will send you a helper. He says, my Father in heaven will send you another helper. Another, and we talked about a couple weeks ago, that another means one just like this one. The Holy Spirit is going to send you another one just like this one, except this one isn't going to be a man bound by flesh and bone. This is a spirit, this is another helper that will live inside each one of us. He's here to guide you, and he's here to help you. When you don't know what to do, when you don't know what to say, when you don't know how all of this works, the Holy Spirit knows.
You hovered over the waters.
Thank you so much for listening today. We pray that you were challenged and encouraged from our message today. If you would like to speak to a member of our pastoral team at Cornerstone Airdrie, you can go to our website, cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com, click on the Airdrie tab, and then on the About section, click on Our Staff, and we'd love to hear from you. Make sure to connect with us on social media, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/cornerstoneairdrie, and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram, @CSAirdrie on Twitter and @CornerstoneAirdrie on Instagram. If you enjoyed the podcast today, be sure to subscribe and get new content delivered right to your device through iTunes. And if you're able to, we would really appreciate it if you could rate and review us on iTunes. I know that sounds like an odd request, but the more that people do that, the easier iTunes makes it for others to find us. At Cornerstone Airdrie, we are a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. As family we go. Your voice.
course like many waters, brings peace to my soul. The God of glory thunders, signs and wonders down below. Desire is to be with you.